What's your name, honey?
Dawn.
Dawn? Did you know your sister took my key, Donnie, and she won't give it back? I bet you know where she put it, don't you?
She doesn't know anything.
I know some stuff.
I bet she takes your stuff all the time without asking, doesn't she? Where's my key, Dawn?
Go upstairs, Dawn.
You're always talking about stuff I'm not supposed to hear. I'm gonna figure it out, you know.
Ooh, I like her. She's sassy. And I'll kill her. I'll kill your mom. I'll kill your friends. And I'll make you watch when I do.
Weapon!
Everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving a review of our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking Season 5, Episode 12, titled Checkpoint, directed by Nick Mark, written by Douglas Petrie and Jane Espenson. Original air date January 23rd, 2001, to an audience of 5.01 million people. And before we get into the meat of this, we have a shout out. I got a Spotify shout out screenshot thing sent to my DMs at Joe Welke. 5 stars, you gotta do that. Special shout out to Lisa D. Thank you for the 5-star Spotify thing. Really appreciate it. If you want to get a shout out, you gotta do a 5-star Apple Podcast rate and review, or a 5-star rating on Spotify. Screenshot the evidence, send it to my DMs at Joe Welke. And yeah, that's the shout out. So number one, right off the bat, I think our predictions were pretty off point on this one.
Off the checkpoint.
Yeah. I think that I predicted something about video games.
We started doing some Groundhog Day stuff, and yeah, we were way off.
Yeah, that was not what happened at all. But this seems like the interesting kickoff of what the rest of the season's going to be, I think.
Yeah, and they introduced some characters late in this episode and didn't really talk about them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem to like forget that just happened the scene before, but yeah.
I thought it was a good episode. It was interesting. We had some returning characters. We had some new characters. We had a bunch of different things that happened. And it was like, whoa, where's the mystery leading with that? We had some new, like, initiative type deal going on at the end.
We had some.
It was just like, whoa, who are those guys?
We got some new minions.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Yeah. I took a bunch of screenshots for the fashion report. Took a load of screenshots for the fashion report.
I thought Giles was wearing that jacket that you didn't like in the beginning, but then he looked really dapper.
Yeah.
He looked really dapper.
I hate that leather jacket with the suit. Like, it just looks bad, dude. That leather jacket looks rustic and weathered. And I don't know, man, but let us get into what goes down in Checkpoint. So it opens up with a recap of Zachary Kralik and the Watchers testing Buffy. And I was like, oh my God, what? did I go back a season? Like, so we get that recap of the Watchers and then Buffy quitting the Watchers Council and being like, I don't need to take your guys' orders anymore. And then we also had another recap of Buffy talking to Giles and her mom about how Dawn is the key and we need to protect Dawn and Dawn overhearing it and all that shit. So the episode opens up with the Scooby Gang all at Buffy's home. They're all gathered to discuss some information that Giles has gathered from the Watchers. But before any of that, Buffy finds one of Riley's sweaters and then she gets all sad.
I wanted to say it's been 3.5 weeks to like a month. Mm-hmm. We've decided, right? And yeah. It's just next to the couch. Yeah. Like, it's not like in a place where she opens a closet or, oh, let me get another pillow or here's a chair. It's just like, oh, this giant sweater. It's just
giant olive green sweater. Yeah. I love Xander. It's just like, hey, isn't that? Oh. Yeah.
It looked like they were having In-N-Out too.
Oh.
From the soda cups.
That would make sense. We're all West Coast babies. Yeah. We got to have that In-N-Out, even though In-N-Out is completely overrated.
And I think it's overrated too.
Way 100% overrated.
I've tried to get into it and be like, okay, I got it. Like, let's go. Let's do it. And it just can't. And the fries are the worst. And everyone admits the fries are terrible. But why? It's French. It's potatoes. How do you?
I know.
And you can see them cutting them up. It's like, how are you? Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried so many. Like, I gave it 3 tries. Yeah. And like, one time I was like, I gotta get a milkshake. Maybe the milkshake is what's like bringing people here. The shake wasn't that great. The burger. And I know I'll get criticized because I eat burgers, meat in the bun. But dude, it wasn't. It's not that great.
I've tried multiple. I've tried animal style. I've tried double, not animal style. I've tried with like the Hatch chilies. I've tried everything. I don't know.
Shake Shack all the way. Anyway, so Giles is there and he tells the Scooby Gang that the Watchers have found some information about Glory potentially. And that they'll be arriving soon. And everyone's like, what? They're coming here? What? And Tara is the one to be like, I mean, why is that a bad thing? Like, these guys seem like they're good guys. They're on our side. They want to take down the bad guys. And Buffy's like, they are technically on our side, but their methods are fucked up. And they tried to kill me. And they almost ruined my life. And they fired Giles. So I do not want them to come here because they're going to screw everything up.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's a good point, but they're already on their way.
It's a good use of Tara to be the like odd person out, to be the voice for the audience, you know, the audience surrogate, because she's the only one that
like the previous seasons. Yeah.
Instead of having like Willow or Anya say it, I guess.
Yeah, and I love that they're like, they have phones, right? You call them, why can't they just tell us over the phone?
Well, that's what I figured when they went to London. When he went to London. Like, you didn't think about that when Giles was leaving? Yeah.
But Buffy's all upset. She's like, I do not want these guys here. And then Dawn comes downstairs and she starts eavesdropping on the conversation. And then Joyce catches her eavesdropping and she's like, Dawn, what are you doing down here? You're supposed to be asleep. And then Buffy overhears that. She's like, Dawn, why are you listening in? You shouldn't be listening.
Is this one of your screen grabs of Joyce and the headscarf coming down the stairs?
I've got a screen grab of Joyce. I got a screen grab of Joyce. I was positive about her bandana last week. Could be a different story this week. All I'm going to say about that. But yeah, then Joyce and Dawn go back to bed and Buffy's like, no, Dawn can't hear stuff. She can't hear stuff. She's, and then everyone's like, why? She knows that that you're the Slayer. What is she going to tell her friends at high school? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there's a council coming. Like, what are they going to give a fuck about?
There's a great line in here where Buffy's like, oh, this is a bad time because now I have to take care of Dawn, and Xander's like, you always had to take care of Dawn. And she's like,
yeah.
She always existed.
She's real.
Yeah.
100%. I also like the touch of Xander having a sling because he got the shit beat out of him by Olaf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his arm's messed up, man. If they didn't put that, we'll get to it. But his arm is one thing, but another thing is completely fine. So, yeah.
So then that's where this scene kind of leaves off. And then we go over to Glory, my girl. My eyes have seen the glory of Glory, and she is in her palatial apartment. She's freaking out next to her couch. She's just like, oh, God. And Dreg, and who I deemed at this point Dreg number two, but his name is Jinx.
Yes. I went to IMDb and I had to like, just to the episode, everybody, just to the episode cast list. And just like, I guess Jinx is that one.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell them apart.
They look... One's taller. Jinx okay. is taller. I think,
is Jinx taller?
Yeah. Jinx was the one that was in this whole episode. For some reason, Dreg is sidelined. I don't know.
Did Glory kill Dreg? Glory should have killed Dreg a while ago.
Yeah.
But for his incompetence.
Yeah. I just don't understand why they introduced the second one to do the a one-person job. Yeah.
But, I'm just going to call them Dregs. Both Dregs bring in this mailman, and they're like, what the hell is going on? Glory, you need to drink. Please, drink. And then they pull Glory up to this mailman, and she just sticks her fingers into his mind, which was so freaky looking.
Yeah.
And she just, like, drains this dude of his consciousness, and then they both pass out. And then Glory comes back to normal and she's like, woof, that was a crazy, you guys are cutting it close here, huh, aren't you? And now the mailman has lost his mind.
I didn't love this. I didn't love that she like needs these minions to bring her people. Like, wouldn't she be like, hey, I'm feeling a little weak and just walk outside and drink somebody? Like, vampires don't have like, I mean, vampires in other lore have like their Renfelds. But like in this, they're like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go eat somebody. Like, she shouldn't need, like, please drag in a mailman.
I don't know. I didn't like the vernacular of drink.
Mm. I thought it said feed, like... but you might be right. I wasn't locked in. No, yeah, you're right. Drink. It's drink, for sure. Yeah.
Feed would be 100% way better.
Yeah.
But drink, I was like, oh, is she a vampire? And no, she's not. So, well, Dreg or Jinx tells Glory, like, oh, it's good that you are back to normal because the signs of alignment are moving faster than expected, and you need to get the key, and you need to use the key, and you need to act quickly because time is of the essence, and you don't have much time left. And Glory is like, look, dude, if the only thing standing between me and my key is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I ain't too worried about it.
She says, Mousy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Then we have the intro song. Then we come back and we're in the magic box, and Giles is talking to this witch that she needs to be careful about her spells. She's giving her some kind of items, and he's like, if you don't do this correctly, you're gonna be in a whole world of trouble. And the witch is like, I got this, Giles.
Yeah, I've seen The Craft. I know what I'm going to do.
I know. And this girl looks like she definitely is like molded her whole look after the bad girl in the Craft.
Yeah. And we have to say, the magic box has never looked better.
Oh, yeah. Getting wrecked last episode.
It's no way Xander's hand isn't healed, but the store is fixed. It's no way. They destroyed that place.
Yeah, man. I mean, Olaf was smashing it with a giant hammer and then just tossing human beings and getting bookshelves tossed around.
He tossed Anya and Willow behind the counter, and they both smashed both of the counters behind it. And then the hammer broke the like counter that the register's on.
Yeah.
Like the whole front was wrecked. And it looks amazing right now. Like, it looks great.
Yeah, I mean, you just went to IKEA, built a couple things over like two couple days, and you know, got
Xander,
it all back.
Xander couldn't help.
That's true. Yeah, Xander could have given him some blueprints, but he couldn't do any of the labor.
Yeah.
Anyway, as Giles is telling this witch that she needs to be careful about her spells, he turns around and Quentin Travers is there, along with like 19 other watchers, it seems. And Travers is telling him, like, hey, it's good to see you, Giles. And Giles is like, oh, I didn't expect you to be here so quickly. And all of the watchers disperse, and they all start like going through Giles's magic box inventory, and they're all looking around at what's going on in there. And Travers is like, oh, yeah, we're just, you know, checking to make sure that you're not selling incredibly dangerous items to the public. You're trying to keep the dangerous items out of the public's hands, right? And Giles is like, yes, of course. And then watchers around the store are like, we've got this thing. This is really incredibly dangerous. You shouldn't be selling this. And then some lady is like, oh, I got this statue. It's stolen from Belize or whatever. And it's worth $100 million. Mm-hmm. And Giles is like, oh, wow, I've severely underpriced that.
I'm siding with the watchers here, man.
Absolutely.
Giles, come on. Like, sell fake crap that doesn't work.
Yes, absolutely. You have to do that.
It's just irresponsible.
Yeah. So then the watchers are like, all right, everybody here that is shopping, you got to leave because we got to do an audit of this place, basically. And so all the shoppers are leaving. And Anya's like, wait a minute. That's all of our money. We need the money. Come back with your money next time we're open. So everybody leaves. The watchers have told Giles that they're going to do a review. And Anya's all worried because she thinks that the watchers are going to be not so kind to her because she's used to be a demon, and she thinks that the watchers are going to try and kill her or something. And she's like very prominently trying to establish that she is an ex-demon, but also convince the watchers that she's just normal human.
Yeah, that's why I'm always a little confused about her, because like last episode, she was like, I am human, right? Yeah. And this one, she's like, ex-demon. And it's like, mm-hmm. Do you even have any demon qualities anymore? Like, what makes you, like, yeah. But it seems like she panics about being an ex-demon until you call her an ex-demon, and she's like, I'm all human.
Yeah. So the watchers, like, try to ask Anya some questions, and Giles like, hey, leave her out of this. She just works for me. She's a nobody. And then Anya just like slinks away, and then she's like, okay. So she leaves, and Giles is pissed because the watchers are going to do a review. He's like, you didn't tell us anything about this. And Travers is mad that Giles doesn't respect the watchers anymore, and he used to be one of them, and he knows some information about Glory. And they're not going to give it to Giles and Buffy unless they're convinced that they're ready to take on Glory. And they have to prove to the Watchers that they aren't two boneheaded idiots that are just going to misuse this information. And Giles is like, you can trust her. You can trust Buffy. She's acquired a remarkable amount of focus.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, what kind of test do you give her? She's survived so much so far.
She's survived longer than any Slayer probably in history.
And also, what's the alternative?
Exactly.
You don't give it to her and you just let Glory do what she's going to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the crux of the episode.
Yeah.
And I figured out a logic behind it.
Okay.
But I'm going to save it till the end. Yeah. But I love that the Watchers had like... And I think that we talked about this too, about Giles is telling them like, oh, we got a training area in the back for Buffy. We can do all of our Slayer stuff. And Travers is like, surely that's where you're keeping all of the dangerous potions and magic stuff.
Yeah.
And Giles is like, it's like, yeah, dude, you absolutely should be doing that.
100%. Like, it should be just like little stuff for like little floating pencil spells in the front, you know?
Yeah.
Little books or stuff, but
hoard the mega powerful stuff for Willow and Tara and yourself. Like, you don't need to be giving it to fucking the girl that looks like she worships the girl from The Craft. Like, you do not need to be doing that. But yes, Buffy has acquired a remarkable amount of focus recently. Cut to Buffy falling asleep in her classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's just like doing the movie ADD situation where she's like wiggling a pencil and she drops it, and then the teacher eventually calls her out to explain about Rasputin's death or something.
She goes like, what? Because Rasputin had been like stabbed, poisoned, and it took forever to kill him. And she's like, well, maybe he's not dead, because she has her own history of like demon knowledge and stuff or whatever. So she like confronts the teacher about it, and then he rips into her. And
he fucking roasts her.
And then I just thought, why does every male teacher hate Buffy? Remember the media guy, the media professor?
Yeah.
He just destroyed her. Like she just
kicked her out of his class.
And I was like, dude, you're teaching like media commercials, like old commercials or something. It wasn't even like a real class. And it was just like, wow. He's like, oh, blonde lady. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like, geez. And yeah. Maggie Walsh was like the nicest one to her. She was like mean, but like functional. Like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, Maggie Walsh seemed strict but fair. But this guy is just like, he's like, Miss Summers, stand up. It's like, I'm going to fucking make an example out of you in front of the whole class. And yeah, he's like, oh, so you know history better than me, the professor? Why don't you fucking come up here and teach it, Miss Summers, Professor Summers?
It is so weird because college is one of those times where people like explore, push back. You're supposed to be like questioning everything, you know? Mm-hmm.
Not in Sunnydale. Not at Sunnydale U.
It's not boot camp. It's not in military school, you know?
Yeah. I was just like, this is so unnecessary when he just is just dressing her down in front of the whole class. She's standing in the class is like laughing at Buffy. Yeah. Like, bro, like this is uncomfortable.
You guys have been on campus long enough to see her like fight. You saw her chase after like Faith.
Yeah. But yeah, after this roasting and the professor is like, is it okay if I continue my lesson, Professor Summers? Is it okay? Buffy sits back down and then we cut to her beating up this giant vampire in a graveyard and she's taking out her anger at the professor on the vampire. And she's like, oh, Professor Summers, huh? Pow, pow, pow. And the vampire's like, what are you talking about?
This is our Discord user Alex's favorite thing. I thought of him when I was watching this. I was like, yeah, taking out her anger on a demon.
Oh, it's so good. But she's beating the shit out of this vampire. And then out of nowhere, she's like beating it up next to like a giant construction digger equipment thing. Mm-hmm. And she takes like a couple steps back at a certain point. And then Spike just jumps over this construction machine and just stakes the vampire. And he's like, hey, huh? Good job, huh? Right? And Buffy's like, what are you doing? And he's like, waiting for your gratitude. And Buffy's like, you got in my way. You could have fucked everything up. And Spike's like, I saved you. You were about to get killed, which absolutely not.
Not at all. Yep.
And then he's like, damn, dude, like, I'm trying to help and you're not going to thank me. Like, you're not. I'm a fucking vampire. I'm killing my own kind here. This is like mad Uncle Tom shit. Like, you're not going to be proud of me at least a little bit. And she's like, no, you're a fucking piece of shit. And you ruined my night. I was taking out my anger on my professor on that turd and you robbed me of the staking. And then Spike starts to go in on her about like, oh, are you feeling mad and self-conscious because you can't keep a man and Riley left you and you're all lonely and you can't keep a man? Maybe it's because you're not as pretty as you used to be. And maybe it's like, you're trying to fuck this chick, dude. Like,
well, this is the Spike I prefer. I prefer negging Spike to trying to win favor, Spike.
Yeah.
Because it's like begging and pleading kind of. But I'm surprised he switched tactics so quickly.
Yeah.
It was like in the same scene.
At the drop of a hat, he was just like, oh, yeah, well, maybe it's because you're not as hot as you used to be and you can't keep a man and you're not interesting and you can't keep interested for men. And then he's just. And then Buffy's just like, Spike, go away. And he's like, all right, fine, see you.
Yeah.
Bitch.
If he would have said that, everyone would have wanted it. A t-shirt of that, too.
I think one of our Discord... Doesn't one of our Discord users have a tattoo of that? I'm pretty sure I saw somebody had a tattoo of that in there.
I feel like so many people got tattoos of that.
There are people... There are Discord users that have shared their Buffy tattoos, which is pretty badass. Big fandom there.
Joe's getting a Buffy tattoo.
No, no. Maybe when we reach 1,000 patrons on Patreon. Patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy 1,000 patrons.
Oh boy, you put it out there.
So then we cut to Dr. Intern Ben at the hospital, and he's leaving work, and one of the dregs
is just... It's Jinx. It Jinx the rest of the episode, yeah.
Okay. So Jinx grabs him and pulls him into, like, a hallway, and I was like, this is, like, so out in the open. Like, I know that it's played as, like, oh, this is a secret corner that Jinx went around to grab Dr. Ben. But it is just, like, where the vending machines are. Like, it's not a private room. Anyone could walk by and see Jinx in his weird monk outfit.
And Jinx is his face. Weird looking.
Yeah, he's got a gigantic nose and
I think someone would walk by and they'd be like, what's wrong with him? He's like, Monkey-litis or something. Yes. And I'd be like, okay. And just keep moving.
And Dr. Ben, it just looks at him like Sunnydale, you know?
And they're like, all right.
So Jinx is like, hey, Dr. Intern Ben, you need to get information for Glory on the Slayer. And Dr. Ben's like, what makes you think I know the Slayer? And Jinx is like, well, you know Buffy Summers, right? She's the Slayer. And Dr. Intern Ben's like, what? How do you know that? And he's like, well, Glory said that she's the Slayer. And she came and she wanted me to deliver the message that she wants information on Buffy and she wants you to get it. And Dr. Ben is like, oh, she wants me to... Well, here is a message for Glory. And then we cut away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh boy, Jinx is in for it.
I don't understand how he did what he did to him in the open.
I don't understand at all.
But it's still fun.
Yeah. So then we go to Giles talking to the Watchers. And Buffy shows up and she opens the door and she's like, oh, fuck, the Watchers are here. This is a bad day. She tries to leave and then... Travers is like, Miss Summers, why don't you come in here? And why don't Mr. Giles was telling us about your rigorous training regimen, and we were hoping that we could get a demonstration of your rigorous training regimen. And Buffy's like, do I have to do it now? I just had a bad night. Yeah, I've had a bad day, dude. Like, why don't we do this another time? And he's like, no, why don't we do it now, because I have information on Glory and I'm not going to give you the information, because from what I've heard, the last couple times you've gotten your hands on Glory, she beat the shit out of you, and you know that she's more powerful than you, and you know that I have information that can help you, and if you don't follow by my rules, I'll ruin Giles's life. I'll get him deported. We'll shut down the magic shop. And Giles is like, whoa, 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 why am I getting brought in? Whoa, you're going to fucking deport me? What's up with those travelers?
Like, we're going to shut down the magic shop, this thing that Giles just started, but it's his whole life.
We're going to call Olivia, tell her that Giles has herpes. Yeah. And then, they're just like, yeah, we can deport Giles whenever we want. We're going to shut down the store. So you better play ball.
When they said that, I was like, how is Giles still in the country?
Yeah. I mean, did the Watchers like fake a green card for him or something? Like, but Buffy is like, oh, God damn it. I don't want Giles to get deported. And Travers is like, yeah, you are doing a bunch of knucklehead, boneheaded bullshit all the time. Now you're dealing with the grown-ups.
I thought you were going to finish that one. You're about to do a bunch of knuckle-headed bullshit right now for us.
Yeah. I mean, that is what happens, basically. So then we go to Gloria's apartment where Jinx shows up. And Jinx is all cut up and beat up. He's got swollen eyes.
Dude, he looks like there's an episode of Martin where he got in a fight with a boxer yeah. and he came out with a giant head, this fake head with all the lumps on it. It's exactly like that.
Yeah, dude, that fake prosthetic in that episode of Martin yeah. is so horrifying.
It's so big and unrealistic, but it's amazing.
It looks like something from like the Muppets. Like he looks, it looks so like a,
it
crazy.
Looks like the Garbage Pail Kids or something. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Oh my god, yeah. dude, that is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh man, Martin's fucking such a good show, dude. Anyway. Yeah, Jinx got the shit beat out of him by Dr. Intern Ben. And I was like, what are Jinx and Dregs' powers if they can just get beat up by... Is Dr. Intern Ben a regular guy, you think?
No.
Okay. No. You think he's something more?
I think he's similar to Glory. Like, I'd said he's like our brother or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think we speculated it was the brother because he was like, I've been... looking after her my whole life or whatever.
And there's a line here that kind of makes it seem more of that than anything else too.
Yeah, fair. So yeah, Jinx is like, hey, I went to go to Dr. Intern Ben to say that you wanted his help. And this is what happened. And Glory's like, oh no, poor Jinx. Why wouldn't he help? Like, what does he care about it? Like, he could totally help. I don't know why he wouldn't help me. I mean, he could beat the information out of Buffy. He could bang the key out of Buffy. And I was like, yeah, let's do that.
I have the actual quote. He said he can seduce her and bang the key out of her. And then, yeah. And then Jinx goes, he is attractive.
Yeah, he is quite attractive. And then Glory goes, of course he's attractive.
Yeah.
And then Glory's like, I just don't get it. Like, this fucking Ben guy, he makes me so mad. And then Jinx is like, oh God, it looks like she's about to suck the consciousness out of me because she puts her fingers near Jinx's head like she did with the mailman. And Jinx starts wincing and he's like, oh.
It's weird because it had both the like tension of he's going to get killed and the tension of them about to make out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glory rules, dude. I like, especially off of the back of Adam, Glory looks so much more interesting and cool. And the mystery around her is cool.
When you go from the mayor to the initiative to Glory, it's just like, yeah. Something doesn't fit here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Glory fucking rules. But yeah, she's also like hugging up on Jinx. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my poor Jinxy. Oh, my big, strong Jinxy. And Jinx starts, you know, he starts to get a little chubby. He starts to get a little filled up in his...
That's why they wear those monk outfits. loose fit.
Yeah, but... yeah, Glory is mad that Dr. Intern Ben is not helping her.
Oh, so, I wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
It's Buffy. It's Sunnydale. It's not hard to find her.
Yeah, dude. I mean, she's in class.
She's in class. You can ask 80 vampires and they'll tell you where to find her, where she lives, because they've been to her house. True. Yeah, you could just go to the phone book. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah. Especially back to dude, like, you know, they talk about how like your information's on the internet, like they just had your shit in the phone book, like you just looked that up.
Yeah.
No, man, just hang out at the magic box where you got all of your dangerous items to make a serpent guy rise from the dead. But whatever. So
I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy, Giles, that you had those items that she needed.
I mean, Anya warned Giles about this several episodes ago.
Yeah.
And now he's surprised that the Watchers are... He's like, oh, fuck that, dude. You should know better.
Yeah. Anyway. I would like to hear people defend Giles' freedom of selling dangerous products.
It's capitalism, baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of the magic box, we go back there where Giles and Buffy are there and they're annoyed that, you know, the Watchers have got them under their thumb. And they have the critical information that's going to help us. And we're screwed. We need the Watchers and we need their information. And Buffy's like, could they really deport you and do all the stuff that they're saying that they're going to do? And Giles is like, you know, if I'm being honest with you, they absolutely could. At any second, they could do this. They're really bad at like physical attacking and stuff because they're a bunch of stuffy British dudes. But this politicking and bureaucracy shit, they're really good at that.
And they took their sweet, sweet time doing it.
I know.
Season and a half.
And Giles is so nervous that he breaks his glasses.
Yeah.
And Buffy's worried about the exam and the review that the Watchers are going to put her through because they're going to expect her to know stuff. And I don't know stuff. I just fucking run into vampire dens without a stake. That's how I go about my business.
Yeah. The like, stuff that they want her to know is just so useless.
So dumb, dude.
No wonder these Slayers are dying.
Yeah. But they know that Buffy needs Giles, and Buffy can't lose Giles.
I love that Buffy didn't know that Giles was planning to move back to London by himself, apropos of nothing before.
Yeah. Remember at the beginning of this season, it was all about, like,
yeah,
I want to learn about the first Slayer in my history, and we've completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, this is going to be cool when she's in class and she's learning about Rasputin, and it's going to be like, oh, she'll get an interesting take and yada, yada. Yeah. None of
was
that
Rasputin
matters.
Rasputin a vampire or something?
None of this restless stuff is fully played in yet for me.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. I mean, it was like two episodes at the beginning of the season, yeah, and then it was like, all right, we got a new big bad anyway.
Dracula was here. Dracula.
So yeah, the Watchers are interviewing the Scooby Gang now because they want to know everything about Buffy, her methods, her friends, and all this shit. So they're interviewing Anya and Xander, and Anya's trying to play it real cool about, I'm human, I was born on the 4th of July, and she has this whole made up backstory that she made up.
That completely you can verify by checking and find out none of this exists.
Yeah. Can we see some ID? Oh, fuck.
Does she have ID?
That's what I'm saying. She can't. I don't know. Does she have a social security number?
I'm sure they can get fake IDs.
Yeah. It is Sunnydale.
Yeah. Sunnydale's criminal side is lively. Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, oh yeah, we help Buffy out all the time. We're real good friends with Buffy. Mm-hmm. And then they cut to Willow and Tara and the One Watchers interviewing them. And he's asking about their relationship, and they're like, "We're friends. We're good friends. We're best friends. No, we're more than friends. We're lovers. We're in love. We're big fat fucking lesbian lovers. And what are you gonna do about it?" And the Watcher's like, "I meant your relationship to the Slayer." And then they're like, "Oh,
yeah.
We're good friends with her."
Yeah.
And then Xander, it cuts to Xander. He's like, we're best friends. Me, Willow, and Buffy, we're the original crew. We used to go out on patrols together and like do all kinds of vampire hunting together. And then this Watcher is like, why would you do that? And Xander's like, what do you mean? And the Watcher's like, you have no special skills, no powers, no knowledge of anything. Like, why are you going out on patrol? And then Xander's kind of like, I mean, I help. I help stuff. And then it cuts to Willow and Tara, and they're like, yeah, we help because we're witches. We do the witch side of stuff. We know magics. And then that Watcher's like, oh, so you're registered witches with the Registered Witches Council? And they're like, yeah, Witches Council, that thing that we totally know existed until just now.
I know, this thing is now going to come up.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, so all of this stuff will be verified. What level of witchcraft are you at? And they're like, super high, like 5. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to double check on all this, and I'm going to check with the Witches Council. And they're like, okay. Well, and he's like, well, what are you doing to help Buffy? And Willow says, I'm working on this spell that is a ball of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But yes. Finally, once in my life.
A broken clock is right, what, twice a day? Yeah, we're still waiting for that number 2.
And he's like, all right, well, that sounds interesting. And then then we cut back to Xander, and then it's like, well, how do you help? And then Xander explains, like, well, there was that one time where we all merged consciousnesses, and I was the heart of the consciousness, and we all helped Buffy defeat Adam. And the Watcher is like, you really have to go and do this very often? Because, like, that's not good if you have to always help the Slayer. And he's like, well, no, we don't always help her. And then Willow is like, yeah, I mean, sometimes she goes out on her own without telling us anything. It's like, we wish that she would tell us because we could help her. But, like, she goes off on her own. She goes off on dangerous missions. And she doesn't need us, though. But, like, I mean, we would like to help, but she doesn't need us. She'd be fine without us. And then it cuts to Spike. And the Watchers are interviewing Spike. And I was like, why would Buffy or anyone tell the Watchers that they are in league with a vampire like Spike?
They are in league with a vampire named Spike. They would have to say, oh, he has a chip. Why would...
Yeah.
And then why would they just go, hey, let's just not kill this person?
Yeah. I don't... This is the part where I was like, I don't understand this part.
Well, a lot of this gets played, like, for 90s, early 2000, like, comedy. Like, the ending clapping and cheering scene felt like it was the end of some other movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where you do something where you, like, get the dean. Like, you make the dean look like a fool. And he's like, oh, yeah, you won, kids. And they're like, yay, we did it.
Yeah. The fraternity can stay.
Yeah, it's like old school or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Watchers are interviewing Spike from a distance with a cross held, which we all know doesn't do shit. And they're like,
if I'm Spike, I'm like, hey, man, the guy with the crossbow, itchy trigger finger, like, chill.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little too close for comfort.
There was a guy with a crossbow. I just saw a guy, like, holding a cross at him.
No, there was another guy with a little, like, crossbow.
Okay.
It was a cross. It was a crucifix, the crossbow, and then the female Watcher. Lady.
She's, like, standing behind them.
The female Watcher I recognize from a classic episode of Frasier, the Ski Lodge. She's Daphne's friend in the Ski Lodge episode of Frasier.
All right. Deep cut.
Yep.
So the female Watcher is interviewing Spike, and she's like, so you help the Slayer? And Spike's like, yeah, for money and sometimes, you know, a little bit of blood if there's, you know, a little, just like some blood lying around. You know, sometimes she lets me drink it. And they're like, this is so crazy that, like, why would she enlist you to help her? And Spike's like, yeah, man, I mean, she's falling off a little bit, man. I mean, she is not doing well. And they're like, oh, really? And Spike's like, yeah, dude, she can't keep a man. Anyway, how is she doing? Like, what's up with her? You know, Spike says something like, yeah, she can't keep a man. She's running through these guys like crazy. And I mean, eventually she might just like come crying to me and lay her head on my shoulder. And the Watcher's like, would you want that? And Spike's like, I mean, have you seen her? She's pretty hot. And the Watcher's like, that's so crazy because it seems like you would want to kill the vampire Slayer being a vampire. Like, you've done this before. You've killed Slayers in the past. And Spike's like, how do you know that? And the Watcher's like, I mean, you're Spike. You're William the Bloody. And he's like, so you've heard of me. And then the Watcher's like, I wrote my thesis on you. And Spike's like, must be kind of crazy to be standing in the same room as the famous Spike. Anyway, now that we're good friends, can you tell me how Buffy's doing? Is she okay? Like, can you put in a good word for me?
This, like, flirtation, I was just like, what is going on? This scene.
Yeah, Spike's all over the place, man.
Like, who has, because we've seen the flashbacks now. Who wrote about him killing the Slayer in China? Who was there to witness that wasn't a vampire?
Yeah.
That wrote that down. Did he tell it to someone?
I feel like Spike's the type of guy that would, like, shout it from the rooftops. Like, I killed the Slayer.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like if you shout it from the rooftops, most of the people wouldn't even know what a Slayer is.
Yeah, and why would you believe? Well, I guess the Slayer would die, so. I Dude, there's so much about this lore that's so crazy to me.
I mean, this is super nitpicky, but it's always like, oh, I wrote my thesis on you. Like, how?
Yeah. I mean, we could, I could go, like, how do the Watchers know when a Slayer, like, is it smoke coming out of a chimney, like
we
the Pope
We still
or
don't
something?
Know. We're like five and a half seasons in, and I still don't know what makes a Slayer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Whatever.
I might have to kill Buffy myself just to see how it all works.
I mean,
and we've met three Slayers.
And I gotta say, I don't know. Despite all of this, mm-hmm. I feel like we must remind the audience. I really like this show.
Yeah, I like the show. I like this episode. But yeah,
it's a great episode. But like, it makes me curious. Like, yes. I want to know more. That's the thing. It's like, it's so good that it makes me curious. I want to know the inner workings. But then I feel like if we knew the inner workings, we'd be disappointed.
I want to know that they know the inner workings. That's what it
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah.
And they're pretty good at this stuff. Like, they don't let stuff fall through the cracks. And, like, they call back a lot of stuff. And people come back and everything. Which happens huge in the Angel episode that we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, Angel, I feel like, does a great job of reminding you of the rules of vampires and stuff. And Buffy does it as well. Sometimes, like, they'll be like, oh, remember this? Or here's a callback to when this happened. And it makes me so curious. And it's like, oh, I want to dig deeper. And it's just like, it's fun, man. But
yeah.
I do have questions.
Yeah. I just figured at this point we'd know a little more about, like, how Slayers are made. Or at least, like, when Buffy's like, hey, I want to learn more about where I come from, then maybe that would be the first question.
Yeah. How is a Slayer chosen?
Yes.
Yeah. I apparently, like, where Kendra's from, they're just, like, training. And it's like, oh, what? Faith became one and not one of these deadly-ass assassins?
Yeah. It was like, oh, Kendra to Faith. It was like, wait, what? How? What? What is this?
Just loose cannon, crazy Bostonian.
Yeah.
anyway.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
After this scene with the Watchers interviewing Spike, we go to Buffy in the training center, and she's about to do the physical test where they blindfold Buffy and there's a dummy and she has to protect the dummy from Philip.
Who's an actor that is in everything. I've seen this guy in like so many things. He's such a character actor that's been in a billion things.
And Buffy's like, wait, I mean, I have to protect the dummy from Philip, and Philip's got this gigantic axe, and they're like, oh yeah, Philip's going to try and attack the dummy and you must make sure he doesn't. And Travers is like, and we're going to be calling out attacks for you to do in Japanese. You've brushed up on your Japanese, right? And Buffy's like, fucking no. And they're talking about how, like, yeah, we're going to shout out the moves of Aikido and Jiu-Jitsu in Japanese. And I got to tell you, I did Jiu-Jitsu for a little bit. Mm. And
oh, yeah. No,
what they're doing, it's none of this.
Isn't Jiu-Jitsu maybe more like wraps and takedowns?
Jiu-Jitsu is more about like submissions and ground fighting.
Yeah.
It's not about like striking. Jiu-Jitsu is like a submission martial
what,
art.
What is it? Gracie? Roy Gracie or whatever?
Yeah.
That guy?
Hoist Gracie.
Hoist Gracie, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's all about getting your opponent on the ground and just, like, subduing them.
Yeah. Which is not great for biting vampires.
Yeah. Maybe Aikido, but from what I've heard on bits of the Joe Rogan Experience.
the most accurate source of information.
Apparently, Aikido is, like, nonsense martial arts. Like, it's not a good martial art, according to, like, real martial artists.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
I think people could argue any martial art is, like, not that, like, I know, like, is Hapkido the one where you use, what's the one that Steven Seagal did where you, like, use someone's force against you? Because
that one's
an interesting one. He's not the best person.
Yeah, like, I was going to say Steven Seagal.
But the actual technique is, like, someone use their force against them when they come at you, and it's more like deflecting defense.
Well, that's a lot of, like, what jiu-jitsu does, too. Yeah. It's like you're using their force again, like, just tricking them into a submission type thing. Yeah. But I feel like the standard, what people consider really good martial arts, is Muay Thai, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, and then a little bit of karate. Like,
well,
there's
a
UFC fighter named, like, Stephen Thompson, who is, like, karate master, and he was, like,
there's
really
Kenpo.
Good.
There's a stuff in
Taekwondo.
Like, there's the stuff in The Raid.
The Raid is sick, dude.
Yeah, and
that movie's awesome.
God, I forget what that is. That's a whole different art. But there's so many different art forms. It's like you can't, like.
Yeah, even like capoeira, like the dance martial art.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I'm sure. I mean, you can beat up anybody with any of them. I just think this test, to get back to Buffy, is so dumb, because one, she's stupid. Blindfolded, and two, she's being told what to do in a different language.
Yeah.
So if I was blindfolded and told what punches and kicks to do, that wouldn't prove anything.
Yeah. It's like it would be like she's going to be out in the field without a watcher. So, like, what instructions is she going to get fighting vampires without her watcher being?
Yeah.
Like,
what is this? That is so dumb. I wrote down, this is a dumb physical test, stupid watchers.
Yeah, and Giles, Travers is shouting the Japanese stuff, and then Giles is trying to translate for Buffy. And Buffy's like, yeah, okay, I got it, Giles. Like, Giles is like, back elbow, strike.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, you know what? Fuck all this. I'm going to do shit my way. And then she just blocks the axe that Philip is trying to attack her with. Kicks him across the room, and somehow Philip threw the axe and it just, like, slammed into the dummy, and the dummy falls over and lands on another one of the watchers. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's like, "Ooh, did I fail? Can I get to do it again?" And Philip is like, "I think she fucking broke my ribs."
I was like, yeah, what did you think? You're fighting a fucking slayer.
Yeah, dude. And Travers is like, no, we've seen all we need to see for this test. Now the real test is going to happen. We're going to meet you later tonight, and we're going to talk over your strategies for going out in the field and attacking. And Buffy's like, yeah, strategies. I do that. I don't just run into vampire dens without a stake and use my bare fists.
Sometimes without a weapon and in tight-fitting clothes that doesn't give me full...
With a scarf, with a scarf that a vampire could just grab and choke me. God. The watchers all leave, and Buffy and Giles look at each other all like, oh man, we're fucking up, aren't we?
But it's like, what was that test supposed to prove? It's so dumb. And I was more worried about Buffy getting hit with an axe being blindfolded.
Right? What if Philip killed her right there?
Yeah.
Then what?
Oh, then the Watchers would be like, great, we'll just find the next one and we'll take over.
That's exactly
what
I thought.
That should have been their plan,
Yeah, that's what I thought that their plan was. Like, that was what I was going to talk about later on, where it's like, yeah, we should, like, hope that Buffy dies. Like, let's not give her the information so we can get another Slayer and have her under our thumb.
Yeah.
But episode does not go that way.
I thought they would have tried to do that beginning of last season.
Right? Like, yeah, I feel like the Watchers would want Buffy dead just so they could have a Slayer under their thumb and, like, control and like poisoned the new Slayer's mind with like, we're important. Mm-hmm. We're the Watchers. You need us.
Yeah.
Before, yeah. You know,
I mean, they were willing to,
like Buffy,
they were willing to let a Slayer die on her 18th birthday. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Dude. So like they're not opposed to like watching these people die. And they even say earlier, they're like, the council stays the same. The Slayers change.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Pretty brutal.
I mean, it's realistic.
Yeah, true. So anyway, after this hard day of physical examinations, Buffy comes home and she's like, whew, what a day. She comes home, she closes the door. She's like, Mom, you home? No answer. Turns a corner. Boom. Glory's there.
Mom's a heavy sleeper.
Dude, Mom's a heavy sleeper. Dawn's a heavy sleeper. They'd ever lock the doors. Like, what is this?
I think
she
could have figured a way in. I think Glory can figure a way in.
All right.
You think a lock is going to keep her out?
I wonder if she just snuck through one of those several broken windows in there.
No, whatever guy fixes up their house, fixes up the magic box, and they're doing great work.
They are.
Yeah.
So that was the big cut to commercial. Glory's in Buffy's house. Come back from commercial. Glory's there and she's mocking Buffy's house. She's like, oh, this is, you know, cute place. You know, this is where the Slayer sleeps, huh? You know, I would choose a much bigger place, but I've got much better taste than you. But, you know, this is cute for you. Anyway, where's the key? Tell me where my key is. And I think that you know that I could beat the shit out of you at any time I want to. And if I wanted to kill you, you would already be dead. So, tell me where the key is, please. And Buffy's like, how'd you get in here? What are you doing here? I'll never tell you anything. And then Dawn just walks into the room from behind as Glory's like, I can fucking kill you. I will kill you. And Dawn's like, la, 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 just walking into the fucking room, dude.
Yeah, because Buffy goes to get a fire poker.
Yeah, poker.
And and then Dawn's just like right behind her and takes it from her. It's like, come on, just stop. Glory's like, I would just kill you if I wanted to. But yeah, Dawn is just walking in. I wasn't sure if Dawn was going to try to help and attack this
lady. That's what I thought. Yeah.
And then I was wondering if Glory could tell that she was the key just by seeing her.
That's what I was wondering too.
And we get answers to both of those very quickly.
Yes, we do. So Buffy's like looking at Dawn and like motioning for her to like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, and so Dawn starts to like back away and slink away. And Glory's like, hey, kid, behind me. I can tell that you're trying to leave. Get over here. Yeah. And then so Dawn comes over there.
Quiet floorboards, man.
I know. Very quiet whenever they need to be quiet. Yeah. Like you said, these fucking contract work, these construction people. Yeah. They're doing great work.
Not one creak of her backing up in a quiet house, yeah.
So Dawn comes around and Glory's like, hey, you don't, your sister, she's a bitch, right? You don't like her, right? She stole something from me. She stole my key and she's not giving it back. Do you know anything about this? And Dawn looks at Buffy and Buffy's like, you don't have to tell her anything. And Dawn's like, I can fucking say whatever I want. And you're always talking about stuff that I don't need to know. And you're trying to keep stuff from me. But one day I'm going to figure it all out and you're going to be mad. And I'm going to tell this lady all the stuff that I know. And Glory's like, I like this girl. She's an asshole.
Yeah, I didn't know what Dawn was playing with here because she was there when she heard her say she was going to kill people. Right?
Yes.
Like, it wasn't a mean, threatening talk. It wasn't hey, we're old friends and I don't like you and I'm mad at you for some reason. It was like, I will kill you and your family.
Yeah.
And Dawn's like, fuck you, Buffy. I'm going to my room.
Like, yeah. And so Dawn just walks away and Glory just lets her. Glory's like, you know, I like that girl. She's sassy.
Yeah.
So Dawn goes away. Glory returns her focus to Buffy and she's like, all right, so where's my fucking key, dude? Where's my key? And Buffy's like, I don't need to tell you anything. And then Glory stands up and gets in Buffy's face. And she's like, this is the last time I'm asking you, where's my key? Because the next time I ask you, it's going to get bloody. And I will kill all of your family. I will kill all of your friends. And I will make you watch me do it. And you know that I can do that. And then she just drops the poker and she leaves. And at this point, I wrote in my notes, why doesn't Buffy ask Glory what she wants with the key or like what her plan is? Like, nobody knows what her plan is. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I would have loved a little more. I know they're just like dolling out the information slowly, you know, over time. But it would have been nice to have Buffy have something to give in this conversation.
Yeah, because Buffy's just like, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not telling you anything. I'm not telling you. You're not going to hurt anybody. I'm not telling you anything.
I guess they wanted her to save it so she could use it in her big speech at the end.
Yeah. So Glory leaves, and then Joyce comes around from the corner, and she's like, Buffy, who was that? And I was like, who are you? Where were you? How did she get... Did you not know anything that's going on in your house? You need to fucking get some security cameras, dude. Like...
Is Dracula back? I need my hair.
Oh God, I hope he doesn't see me in my bandana. But I was just like,
she's just not home. She's just not home, right?
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that nobody was home, and then Dawn shows up, yeah. And then Joyce shows up. It's like, where were you?
Yeah,
where were you? Were you just in the kitchen, like making eggs or something? Like, what the fuck? Because she's on the first floor.
Yeah.
She didn't come down the stairs.
I mean, she could have. I mean, it's quiet, man. Those stairs are quiet. Oh,
that is true. Yeah, that's true. She's walking on clouds.
Yeah.
So Buffy is like, oh, God, this is bad news. Mm-hmm. I got to get you guys somewhere safe. I got to protect you from Glory. Where can I go that's going to be the safest? And I rewound this scene several times because I didn't know what the fuck happened. Oh. Because this scene opens up with Spike gasping and be like, ah, ah! And Buffy is like so far in it. Was he asleep? Like, how did she sneak up on him?
I don't remember how this scene started. I do remember the end. It's like she goes, who was that, Buffy? And she's like, Buffy's like, pack a bag, an extra conditioner.
Extra conditioner, extra bandanas. You're gonna need them.
No, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember how like the Spike scene started. I know he was like, I think he started. I guess you saw it twice, so he started.
Like Buffy somehow surprises him, but she's like so far in his crypt. Like I don't know how she surprised him, but Spike is like, "Whoa, you scared me!" And Buffy's there. And Spike looks over and he sees Dawn and Joyce. And he's like, what's with the family road trip to the crypt? Like, what's up with this? And Buffy's like, hey, I'm dealing with some shit. Some bad stuff's going down. I need you to protect and look after my mom and sister. And Spike's like, I'll do it for money. And Buffy's like, no, dude, for real, this is serious. And Spike's like, why are you asking me to do this? And Buffy comes clean. And Buffy's like, look, I got some shit that I need to do. And you're the only person powerful enough to protect them. All right? So will you please do it? And Spike's like, all right, fine. Your mom's pretty cool, actually. I like her.
Is he powerful enough to protect them?
I don't know. Again, I never understand the power levels, and like,
I mean,
he's more powerful than like Xander.
I feel like Willow could put a bubble around him or something.
You would think.
I'm always saying magic trumps vampire demonism.
I think magic trumps like physical.
Yeah,
like magic is so useful and cool.
Yeah.
But Spike agrees, and then Buffy's like, "All right, I'm leaving. I got this test I got to do." So she leaves, and Dawn and Joyce and Spike's is like, yeah, make yourself at home. And Joyce is like, I love what you neglected to do with the place. Spike's like, yeah, sure. Come on in, make yourself at home. Just don't make any noise, because my stories are about to come on. Passions is on, and I don't want you interrupting this. And Joyce is like, oh my fucking God, you watch Passions too? I love Passions. You think Timmy's is really dead, or you think... And Spike's like, no, he's a doll. She can definitely make him come back to life. And then like Joyce and Spike just start watching Passions together. And Dawn looks at him like, what the fuck is this?
Dude, I love that Spike gets everyone to watch Passions. Because even Giles is like, I've watched Passions with Spike.
Dude. I mean, Joyce was already a fan, apparently. Yeah, yeah. But like... Joyce and Spike's relationship is so fun.
That is when they got there, I was like, oh, this is weird that she brought him here. But then I was like, yes, we're going to get a Joyce-Spike moment.
Yes.
And they get it. Yeah, they delivered.
Yeah, they delivered, dude. Like, them watching Passion, like, sitting on the arms of that chair, just, like, enthralled.
I love that he has a TV in that crypt that somehow gets reception. I know. And the Buffy mannequin is in the background of the scene when they're talking. And I was like, are they going to comment on this?
Buffy should have been like, what's that? Spike's like, fucking nothing.
Yeah.
He's got like pictures of Buffy taped up all over the place. Pictures that he stole. And he's got her underwear like pinned up to a wall.
Do you think they are still going to be there next episode?
I hope. I mean, it's just like such a fun... weird dynamic.
He's like, there's blood in the fridge, and they're like, real blood, and they're like, yeah. I like this version of Spike better. I like him still being a jerk, flirty, and not being like trying too hard. I don't know, like, he's still an asshole of Buffy right now.
But yeah, love the scene.
Yeah,
love Joyce and Spike. I ship them. Instead of Buffy, Spike should be romantically involved with Joyce. She's already got the hots for her. She's letting Dracula in. She made Coco for Spike.
More age appropriate.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then we go to the Scooby gang. They're at the magic box watching the Watchers. They're like up in the rafters or whatever. And they're like, stupid Watchers. I hate the Watchers. I was like, what is this?
That's what I was saying. It was like, what? It's like the cheering section up top.
Yeah. And the Quentin Travers is pissed. He's like, ooh, Buffy's 20 minutes late, Mr. Giles. She's supposed to be here 20 minutes ago. And Giles is like, I'm sure she has a good reason for being late. And then we cut to Buffy, who is on her way in her... absolutely fucking stupid outfit.
Whoa.
She's got that beanie on with the tag on the outside again. It's the same beanie. At least they're consistent. They're like, oh, this is Buffy's beanie. But she had a
rough day, Joe. Take it easy. All right.
Yeah, I know. She's about to have an even rougher day because she's walking and she walks down an alley to get to the magic box and she is accosted by some dude in chainmail. And he attacks her in an alley, and then like two more chainmail dudes show up and they surround Buffy, and Buffy's like, do we gotta do this right now?
I wrote Buffy was attacked by the Knights of Ren. And I only like know that term. I don't really I know it's a Monty Python thing, but I don't even think I really watched it, does it?
I thought the Knights of Ren were Star Wars. Like they were the Knights of Kylo Ren.
What's the Monty Python one?
Yeah, the this is but a flesh wound.
But aren't they the Knights of Ren too?
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I don't know. That's what I was like once. I don't know. For some reason, I was just like Knights of Ren.
I know for a fact that Knights of Ren is a Star Wars thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Kylo Ren, but I don't know what the Monty Python thing is.
Well, these are the Knights of the Byzantium.
Yeah, Byzantium
Empire or something.
They surround Buffy.
I thought these were going to be the Watchers, even though we had just seen them. Mm-hmm. I still thought these were going to be the Watchers in chainmail fighting her. And this was going to be the second test.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
I guess the test would have been like, can Buffy get here on time if we're throwing all this stuff at her?
I don't know. I didn't think we were going to get a new baddie thrown in. So
a new faction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Buffy all these guys, they have these gigantic stripper poles and they're beating Buffy up with the poles. Like they're not lances because they're not spiky at the end. It's like they just have giant chrome poles that they're beating Buffy up with, it seems.
Well, I mean, she ends up taking a sword from someone.
That's true. They're big bow staffs, I guess. But then Buffy just beats the shit out of all of them. Mm-hmm. And she, after she beats them all up and they're all like knocked out, I was like, is she not going to get information from these guys and ask who they were?
This is the one where I wanted her to ask more questions. Less yes. with Glory, more with this. Like this one, I was like, yes. You have to be like, come on, guys. I'm trying to keep it away from somebody or yeah. something. Like I really wanted her to take this guy to the magic
with
box.
Her. Yes.
I was like, walk in, shove him in front of the Watchers and be like, hey, they have information on this thing. We have it. Go. Yeah.
Yes. But she pins down this one chainmail knight guy. She unmasks him. And I was kind of like, is this Dr. Intern Ben? But no, it wasn't. It was some other dude. And he's got a tattoo on his forehead. And he's like, we're the Knights of Byzantium. And Buffy's like, oh, are you in league with Glory? And they're like, fuck no, we're not in league with the Beast. We are knights and you are protecting the key. We are trying to destroy the key because it would stop Glory from being able to do her evil deeds. And you're protecting the key. So we're now your enemy. And it's like, it is an interesting three-way thing. This episode should have been titled Triangle. Last episode was Triangle, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But like,
did you panic?
I did. But it's like, cool, because Glory wants the key to do her whatever she's about to do with it. Apocalypse type bullshit. These guys want to destroy the key. Buffy wants to keep the key away from Glory, but also protect the key because it's Dawn.
If the key wasn't like, Dawn, she would destroy it.
Absolutely. She should just destroy it anyway. Dawn's fake.
if they were to kill Dawn and destroy the key, would their memories of her just go away?
I guess so. I mean, the monk dude that entrusted Buffy with Dawn, aka the key, was like, you need to protect the key.
Yeah.
But why would it be bad to destroy the key?
I don't think it's easy to destroy. I think that it's not easy to destroy the key.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe
some ritual or something.
Who knows?
But yeah, after Buffy gets that information, the knight's like, we're going to send hundreds to kill you. And if you defeat the hundreds, we'll send thousands to destroy you. And Buffy's like, thousands? And the guy's like, yep. And that's all the information that you're going to get from me. So you might as well just kill me right now. And Buffy picks up a sword and she's like, I'm not going to kill you. Go. And that guy just like scampers off. And I was like, okay, well, that was weird.
Yeah, I was like, are you not going to try to follow up any other questions? Like, why? What are you coming for? What side are you on? Should I just not even go home anymore? Because this...
Dude, I mean, it was super frustrating, that scene. And then the next scene, I felt was equally frustrating. Because mm-hmm. Buffy walks into the magic box, and she's just, like, looking at the sword that she stole from this mm-hmm. guy. And Quentin Travers, like, cannot give a fuck. He's like, you're late.
He's like, I know you have a sword that's bigger than you are, but sure.
Yeah. And then Giles looks at her and is like, what's that sword about? And Buffy's like, some fucking chainmail dudes attacked me. And Giles is like, you got attacked? And she's like, yeah. She just throws the sword on the table. And Travers is like, all right, well, I don't give a fuck. Time to start the review. And Buffy's like, no, there isn't gonna be a review, all right?
And I was so happy.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, thank God. We don't have to watch her answer dumb ancient questions.
But this is what frustrated me. Buffy is like, I'm not doing any more fucking tests. All of your reviews are a bunch of bullshit. And you know why? It's a bunch of bullshit. It's because everyone's trying to tell me that I don't have any power. I'm the weak one. Glory came into my home and She told me that I'm a flea. I'm nothing. I'm lower than dirt. And you know why? It's because I have something she needs. I have power over her. You guys show up and you say, oh, you need us. We have information and we're not going to give it to you unless you pass our tests. And it's because you need me. Because without me, your guys' lives are meaningless. What are Watchers without Slayers? Just a bunch of fucking nerds reading about demons. All right. So you need me more than I need you. All right. So fuck all this test bullshit. That shit's over. And you know what? You're going to tell me the information that I need to destroy Glory, because without me, you can't destroy Glory. You're just a bunch of old guys and ladies and potentially others.
I wish you would have curtsied when that happened.
So you're going to do this and you're going to let me do things my way. You're going to let me take my friends out on patrol. You're not going to question my methods. And you're going to fucking give Giles his job back. You're going to make him a watcher again. And you're going to start paying him again. And then Giles is like, and also back pay. And Bobby's like, and also back pay since the moment you fired him. All right. So you're going to fucking let me do this thing with my friends and with Giles. And then the Travers is, somebody is like, you're going to fucking take this Xander guy? That guy has no powers at all. He is a liability. And Buffy looks at that guy and she goes, Xander has clocked more hours in the field than all of you combined. And then Xander's like, hell yeah, I have. Yeah. And then Travers is like, all right, I agree to your terms.
Woo, let's work yay, together. Clap, clap, clap. Yay, woo. It's like the weirdest celebration. Now, and this is what's swelling up. That's so funny.
Now, this is what frustrated me about this scene is Buffy like running down all of her terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. She doesn't bring up the Knights of Byzantium.
Yes.
I was like, why the fuck don't you tell these people about this?
Because like they're definitely saving it for the next episode. But I was like, that should be the immediate thing that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
They said thousands of people. I don't care about Giles's retroactive pay right now.
Yeah. Like I just got attacked by three dudes in an alley.
Also, does Giles want to be a watcher again?
Yeah, that's what I was like. Oh, no, we're back to this bullshit.
Yeah. Like, so, okay, cool. I'm sure it's great because they pay him money. But isn't he making a ton of money with this magic box? Like,
well, I mean, his store has been closed for like a day and a half, so he's lost a lot of money.
He's got the 5 o'clock shadow already.
Yes. He's cleaning up his desk. Oh, it's fucked. No one's going to love me. Olivia left me.
Like, he's been, sure, like, I did not see him wanting to be back with that group.
Me neither.
Or her tying back. It's like, hey, I come to you guys. You give me all the assistance I need, but I don't listen to you. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we needed like two episodes for this to be a thing for the watch. Like it's fine here, but it's like when she quit, she did this. You knew you had power when you quit and nothing happened. Like literally nothing. They're like, oh, they're so good at bureaucracy. They didn't like get her like expelled from school or not transfer. They could have really ruined Buffy's life.
Like
they legislatively. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to Giles either.
That's why, yeah, I was very confused when she was like, and Giles will be reinstated as a watcher. Giles is just like in the background, like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm just in it for the money, to be honest with you.
Just give me the tell pay. Them to pay like, me. Yeah, like now they're gonna go to Giles, and Giles still has like, I can't talk back to the watchers because he's like still brainwashed by him a little bit, you know? All the years spent with him. So they're gonna keep coming to him, and he's gonna have to start writing more reports and stuff.
Yeah. Like, do you think Giles is... I feel like Giles was happier not being a watcher. He seemed pretty stoked about the magic box.
He didn't like the way they treated Buffy because he formed a emotional bond with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It was just like a... It's not something that I was looking forward to. Like, I don't care if Giles is a watcher or not anymore.
Yeah, me neither. He's already serving as the watcher. Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to fucking be officially a watcher.
And one of my bigger questions is, if you're the Slayer, I feel like Slayer should be traveling around. Like, yes. It's like, hey, this is a big... Like, she should be doing what Riley had to do. Hey.
She should be doing what Wish Universe Buffy was doing. Just, like, traveling. Like, I was in fucking Cleveland, all right?
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit going down there.
And then they were like, the Master's in Sunnydale. I come to Sunnydale and fight the Master. Then it's like, all right, I'm traveling this way. Like, you're just
right, going to Belize. Yeah. I heard of a special mission.
Yeah, it's like a terrible lifestyle. But, like, she's just like, yeah, I'm just going to be in Sunnydale and everything will just, like, magnetize towards me.
Yeah.
Like, I get it for the show purpose, and, like, you can't just... It's not like a 10-episode show where she can just travel around everywhere. But, yeah, it just seems like if there's one Slayer in the whole world...
Yeah.
And the whole world is full of demons. Just the state of California alone. yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That would be a cool, spin-off series. You know, like a Slayer going around the world and killing people, like episodic type of thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, there's all these like different stories and shit going on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's been different versions of that, not Slayer. But yeah, like, yeah, just go to a place, it's the monster of the week, but it's like, I don't know. It's just like any of those like procedurals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Travers is like, Mr. Giles, when we were doing our inspection of your store, we noticed that there's a bottle of malt scotch liquor behind the cabinet. And Giles is like, just use it. It's not during store hours. It's just like, do you want me to get rid of it? And Travers is like, no, I want a fucking glass because I've been bested.
Like, right after Buffy has just like laid down the hammer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Travers says, like, Giles, I found your whiskey. And he's like, like, come on, dude. You're like, have a backbone. Buffy just stood up to this whole group of crusty old men and women. And then he just says one line to you about your whiskey. And you're like, yes, I guess I should pour you a glass. You've never been talked down. To a woman like that,
So Giles is like, all right, I'll go get you a glass. And Buffy's like, before all that shit, tell me the fucking information that you know about Glory.
I wanted to say this. I thought they should have just stolen that fucking folder. When they put that folder on the table, I was just like, throw something at his head and take it. They don't have powers.
Yeah, just grab it and run. Push him out of the way. Yeah.
Have Willow do some magic force field or something. It'll probably go wrong, but it'll still do more damage.
Yeah, get Tara to blind them to the Slayers.
They're not utilizing Tara's witch powers enough, because she was...
They really aren't.
Yeah, she had a lot more. It seemed like she knew a lot more than Willow, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, Willow's better than her now.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Buffy's like, I need you to tell me all this fucking information right now. I am tired of being in the dark. You need to tell me about this demon that I've been fighting. And like, what's her demon powers? What's up with this demon? And Travers is like, well, that's the thing, Buffy. Glory is not a demon. She is a god. And Buffy goes, oh. Credits.
But there's only one true god.
Yeah. There's only one god, ma'am, and he does not look like that. Captain America jumping out of the plane.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's a god.
Now, the god of what? Is she Loki? Is she the god of mischief?
We dealt with any gods in these series?
Well, we always talk about how, like, because crucifixes exist and they're useful,
yes,
that means that God exists. But now it's like there are gods.
Yes.
So where does that leave Jesus, our boy, our Lord and Savior?
Maybe Jesus starts the next season. Like, it was Dracula, and then it's like Buffy versus Jesus is the season 6.
Oh, he teams up with Buffy to fight. He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just like that Family Guy episode where Jesus is like...
the rush hour, Jesus, Chris Tucker and Jesus.
Damn, Jesus, you're crazy, Jesus!
You ever smoke one of these? So ridiculous. How much do you think watchers get paid? Because Giles is happy, happy.
Giles is like... I mean, the salary was pretty banging when I was a watch. He's like, what are you getting? Like, I don't know.
He was double dipping on that salary. Plus, he was still getting paid by the school to be a librarian and not doing that job at all.
Yeah, because there was no job to do. Nobody ever utilized that library except for Cordelia, like twice.
Yeah. He was double dipping there.
Let's say the Watchers, this is the year 2001. Mm-hmm. He's probably making, you know, maybe like 100K, six figgy.
He'd probably make it. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe probably less.
Apartment.
Probably making less than 100K. I don't think it was that price.
85?
What do you mean, 85? Yeah, maybe. I feel like he was low ranked too.
I mean, like, even just on his... I don't even know if he opened the magic box yet before he got that fucking convertible.
No,
like,
he was doing pretty good first. Oh, yeah. You know what I wanted to bring up about the car? He didn't want Anya to watch the magic box while he was gone, but he left the keys to the car.
Yeah,
I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, this episode, good. Things are moving.
Yep. We're in the back half of the season, it seems. We gotta get things a-moving.
I'm still waiting for Buffy to hook up with Dr. Intern Ben.
I am too. I thought that they were going to be like, glory is Satan himself or something like that. But a god is interesting. It's an interesting take.
Yeah.
Opens up a little bit more of this lore.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like implied in a way when she said, my name is... when her whole spiel about her name being Glory, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts about Checkpoint?
No. Good Spike episode. Good Joyce. Dawn is going to be, you know.
Dawn is dawning.
Dawn is dawning. Yeah.
Next episode. I'm fucking hammered.
Do I have to check and see if you have some scotch behind the cabinet?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I have a shadow.
But I checked behind your microphone and found a...
Next episode is titled Blood Ties. Something to do with Dawn?
Definitely something to do with Dawn. Ooh, I think we're going to find out that Glory and Dr. Intern Ben are brothers too. Or brother-sister.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good prediction. Too. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Dr. Ben is going to be a bit more focused in Blood Ties.
Yeah.
We're going to learn a bit more about him.
Yeah. Because our prediction last week was so good. Why wouldn't this one be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like this one, the title is a bit more...
Yeah. I'm not going to say.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems a bit more leading than Checkpoint. But who knows? Yeah, we're always fucking this up.
Yep.
Blood Ties, about Dr. Intern Ben, and also learning a bit more about Dawn and protecting Dawn or whatever.
Yeah, always got to protect Dawn. And maybe we'll learn about those knights that they decided not to talk about.
Yeah, the Knights of Byzantium. I bet we're not going to see those guys for another 4 episodes.
Which is crazy. That one gets away. He's like, well, I don't think she's that bad. She let me live.
Yeah. And she just knocked the other 2 guys out.
Yeah, like, she didn't kill any of us.
Yeah.
Like, we're all standing.
She does mention, she was like, can I just kill Travers? And Giles is like, no, but maybe I could punch him. Buffy's like, yeah, you can. They're like, you're around the same age. You're like, he this guy's 60. I can't beat him up, but like, you can.
I was like, anyway. Yeah, I saw Buffy punch Amy's mom. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's a wrap for Checkpoint, everybody. Thanks for listening. Sign up for our Discord. We'll be doing some lively discussions about this for sure, probably. Join our Patreon.
This for sure, probably.
Really noncommittal.
Yeah.
Join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, the Joe's Fashion Report, and Boys Watching Movies, where we'll be doing Bring It On. We also have Amazon Wishlist, a Throne thing. Follow the Instagram at Boys Watching Buffy. Email in boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com if you want to get a shout out. Apple Podcast rate and review 5 stars or Spotify 5 stars. Screenshot it. Send it to my DMs at Joe Welke. And that is a wrap. Thank you for listening and stay tuned next week for when we talk about Blood Ties.
Why won't he help? He knows her. He could go to her. He could talk to her. He could seduce her and bang the key out of her.
He is quite attractive.
Well, of course he's attractive.